Those testimonies were wonderful today. God is always involved in our lives. He always is, and He has said so from the start. He will continue to remind us when we seek Him. He will continue to do the things that we request of Him. And we have to encourage each other. We have to remind each other that that God has called us to a life which is more than abundant. And that means exactly what it says, more than abundant. You know, what does that mean to you? That's what it means. Does it mean having some peace, having some joy, having things that you need, having your needs met? It means all those things. You know, you cannot say that Jesus Christ only meant one specific part of life when He said life more than abundantly. You know, He meant what He said. He said what He meant. And we have the benefits of that. We can trust God to provide those things through Jesus Christ. And all the things that we have in Christ are by God's grace. It's not because we have earned them. It's because we simply go to God and accept His favors. Accept His grace. He says to us every day, I want to favor you. I want to show you my mercy and my grace. I want to do things for you. You are my child. He wants us daily to recognize that. Never to doubt it. And there'll be thoughts that come in our minds. We're human. There will always be those thoughts of, well, what if, or where is my answer, or where is God? There will be those thoughts, but they're fleeting thoughts. You know, they're kind of like, they're like gnats in the summer. You know, they're there, they're pesky, but they're really not nesting in your head. And you can't allow them to. You have to allow only those thoughts regarding Jesus Christ and what He has provided for you to dwell in your thinking, to prevail in your thoughts. You know, you have to bring your mind back constantly. We all deal with it. We all battle with that ultimate battle in our head, between our ears. That's where we fight this fight. Ephesians says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers that are devilish and that rule this world. That's our fight. You know, and we have to recognize that. That daily, the thief comes to steal from you, to kill whatever hope you may have about what God has promised to you, to ultimately destroy you. That's the thief. You know, and if we look at life and we see it the way God has designed it and the way God has authored it, we can be victorious each and every situation in our lives. We can be. We've been promised that. In Colossians chapter 2, I wanted to look at a few things. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Word of God. Because, of course, every time I go to the Word and read a chapter of some church epistle, I say, this is my favorite chapter. And I turn a couple of pages and go, this has got to be my favorite chapter. Turn the next page, boy, this is my favorite. Isn't it like that when you love God and you love His Word? But here today, this morning, this is my favorite, chapter 2 of Colossians. And we're going to start in verse 6. It says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. You know, so as you have received Him, and we know how we've received Jesus as our Lord, right? Jesus Christ. We've confessed Him as Lord. Why? Because we heard of Him, we read of Him, and we decided He's the man to make Lord. There's no one else that could be my master than Him. And we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead. And when then we therefore we receive everything that He has made available for Him. That's what it speaks of when it says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. As you have received Him, Christ Jesus the Lord. as you've received everything that He has made available to you, everything that He has earned to you, you have received that. How did you receive it? Well, it's very simple. It's by faith. Right? By faith, by believing that God raised Him from the dead. Hold your finger here and look at Galatians chapter 3. We've received all these great benefits. We've received the blessings and benefits of having a life which is more than abundant. In spite of what the adversary wants to do to everyone that ever draws breath, we have received great blessing. And how have we received it? Galatians chapter 3 speaks very plainly about this. Chapter 3, verse 2, it says, "This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" And that's, you know, an obvious answer to that question. They all knew. We didn't, these were Gentiles. We didn't receive any of this that we have because we followed the law of Moses. We had nothing to do with the law of Moses. We were Gentiles. We were from Galatia. All we know is what was proclaimed to us about Jesus Christ being the payment for our sin. And that He died for us. And that 3 days and three nights later, God raised Him from the dead. And we believed that. And we made Him our Lord. We believed what we'd heard. And that's how we received the things of the Spirit. Not by the works of the law. Are you so foolish? Verse 3 says, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? You know, all you have is because of what God has given to you via that Spirit within you. It has nothing to do with your flesh. So now we go back to Colossians. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. We've received what we have received in Christ by God's grace, by simply believing it, by faith. Not by the works of the law, just by faith. Just by believing it. You know, when we bring our heart and mind to God and we say, God, this is what I need. He doesn't say, okay, here's what I want you to do to earn it. Do 47 Hail Marys. Go to the gym 3 times a week. Get down on your knees. No, He doesn't say to do anything with your flesh. He says, believe Me with your heart, and I will give it to you. Have some confidence in My promises and in My integrity. Have some confidence in the reality that I, God, have created the heavens and the earth, and whatever I say can be done, can be done. Whatever I say I will do for you, I will do. What I say I have provided for you through My Son, Jesus Christ, I have provided. When I say to you, I have made you the righteousness of God in Christ, then you are righteous. That's how we receive anything, by believing it. And now we are to walk that. We're to walk in that. We're to walk in Him, in all that He has given to us, all that He has made available to us. Our sonship, our justification, our sanctification, our righteousness, our redemption, everything that we have in Christ we now can walk in. We just walk in it. You walked into this room today. You walked into our home. How did you? You just walked in. You walked in expecting something, didn't you? Sure you did. I hope it wasn't bad. Or you probably wouldn't have been here. You expected something good. So as we walk in Christ, we should have that same anticipation, that same expectance. Expectance? Expectancy. We should have that same excitement because we expect to receive of Him. Not by our works, but because of our faith in Him, our confidence in Him. Our confidence in this whole thing is real. That's what allows us to walk freely. That's what allows us to live life without any fear, without any worry, without any doubt of what tomorrow may bring, or how today may turn out. We only have great anticipation of good things. And then it says in verse 7, rooted and built up in Him. In Him. Not in our own work. Not in our own worthiness. But in Him. We are rooted. We are built up in Him. And established in the faith. And those things are great because in the Greek they're all passive verbs. Passive. Passive means you just sit there. And you are rooted. You don't root yourself. You know, you plant a tree, right? And what happens to that tree? That tree roots itself. You, as the gardener, you don't sit there and go, root, 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 root. Root yourself. Root yourself. Grow! No. It happens. As you have received Him by faith, that's how you become rooted in it. You continue to have faith. You continue to believe. You go to the Word. Yes, you go to the Word or you don't know anything about it, about what you have. You've got to read. That's why God provided His Word. You read the Word. You read it. You pray. You go, God, open the eyes of my understanding. You know? And as you're reading, the lights go on. Whoa! And shivers happen all over you because you see all that you have by God's grace. An awareness. Some people call it epiphany. Epiphany. It's a revelation. Who's revealing it to you? Your own head? Your own brain? God. God reveals to you. God will continue to open the eyes of your understanding. He'll continue to show you His love, His grace, and the bigness of it. As you bring yourself to it. With faith. That's all. With confidence in Him. You're rooted, built up in Him, established in the faith. You're established in it. It's like when you live life with great confidence towards God. You see Him do great things for you. You see Him heal you physically. You see Him answer your prayers and do things for you that you know, it has to be God. This is just unbelievable what He's done for me. I did not earn this. No one's earned anything from God. We get it by His grace. Confidence in that grace. Right? He works for those who believe. And He waits on all of us to believe. That's all He's waiting for. He's waiting for our heart, our faith. And we abound therein with thanksgiving. We abound therein with thanksgiving. That's our job. Being thankful. Being thankful to God. Having great thanksgiving in our heart for all the things that we see first in the Word about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God, thank You for allowing Him to be the payment for our sin, because that was a big price that I would have had to pay. And yet You allowed Him to pay it for me. Thank You, God. As I thank God with great faith in that, with great confidence, believing that, my roots grow deeper. I get more built up in Him as I stay thankful. No unthankful person has any deep roots at all. You know the parable of the sower. The sower went forth to sow seed. You know, some falls on stony places, among the tares. Good ground. The thankful heart is a good ground. We be thankful. You know, we stay thankful. Then it says in verse 8, look at this, verse 8, beware, beware. Okay. This is life in the world now. You've got to beware of something. You've got to be conscious, lest any man should spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ, not according to Christ. Spoil you, you know, carry you away, right? Make a captive of you. That's what to spoil means, to make a captive of you. Lest any man, you know, you be careful. Now that you've received Christ Jesus the Lord and you're endeavoring to walk in Him with that great confidence in what God has promised to you, now you got to be aware of something. You have to be aware that out there in the world, people are going to try and carry you away as a captive to their way to live. And it's all through philosophy. You know, men's thinking, men's philosophy about life. You know, and there's countless numbers of philosophies out there. Right? Human wisdom. Well, you know, I've lived a long time. Oh, have you known God long? Nope, never. Hate God. Don't even believe in God. But I've lived a long time, and let me tell you something. I wouldn't listen to that guy if I were you. Wouldn't listen at all. You know, human wisdom. That's one of the ways that they will try and make you a captive. All right? And vain deceit. You know, empty deception. Vain means empty. The deception that they deceive you to is empty. It has no end result. It's void of any real substance. And the traditions of men. You know, the traditions of men that men carry out and hand down, you know, from generation to generation that have nothing to do with God. Have everything to do with their own philosophies, their own vain deceit. See? You know, now you have to be aware that that's how things are out there. And that's how the adversary will work to steal, kill, and destroy what God has created in you. And the life that God has designed for you and allowed you to be a part of. Right? After the rudiments of the world. You know, the rudiments of the world, the basic, you know, the ABCs of the world. This is an interesting term. You know, rudiments really literally means the elements, right? The basic principles or lessons, you know, that the world has to share and give. And not after Christ. Not according to Christ. You know, in the world without God, you know how it is. We all know. We've all lived there. We've all been there. We know how it works. And all these things are designed to make you a captive. All right? Instead of being a captive of Christ. You know, that's who we want to be a captive of. Not the things of the world. You know, so we have to be aware that there's forces at work. There are things at work around you and situations around you that are getting you to doubt God, to fear a situation, to bring you down, to discourage you, to depress you, to stress you out. All these things so that the adversary can succeed stealing, killing, destroying that Christ that is within you. And that life that God has called you to. Now, can He literally destroy the Christ in you? Can He kill it? No, He cannot. But He can make it of no effect if He defeats you between your ears. You know, it reminds me of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, where it says, we are to lead every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. In comparison to this, are we to lead every thought captive to the obedience of men's wisdom, the philosophies of the world, the rudiments of the world? No. We're to lead our thoughts captive to Christ, to all that He has provided for us. And our sonship, our relationship now with God as a Heavenly Father. We're to bring our heart and soul and mind to that. Boy, you know, we acknowledge God every moment of the day, every breath we take. It's possible. It's possible to acknowledge God. I may not acknowledge things or people around me. I may have the blinders on, but But as my blinders are on in the things that I'm doing in life, I do not ignore God. He's my Father. He is ever present with me. I can, thought by thought, check in with Him. I can remind myself that, I may feel alone, but God's with me. Every thought captive. Every thought captive. Some thoughts. It just brings some thoughts. No, it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, bring every thought captive. Every thought. Every thought that I have. Bring it into that context of what Jesus Christ has done for me. And that's pretty cool, actually. That doesn't make me religious, that makes me spiritual. Because this is how to walk in Him. Walk in Him, right? We walk in Him by faith, by realizing that every step I take, my Heavenly Father's looking out for me. He's watching out for me. He's holding my hand. He's right there with me. How can He do that? I don't know. He's God. He can do it. And He's paid a great price in order to be able to do it. To have the privilege to do it. It says then in verse 9, for in Him, in Christ, in Christ. This is why, you know, we lead our every thought captive to Christ. Because in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, it says in Old King James, the Godhead bodily. Godhead is a word that literally means divine nature. That's all it means. All the fullness of the divine nature. All, it doesn't make Him God. He's the Son of God. You know, it talks of us as having the divine nature within us now that we are sons of God. We are partakers of a divine nature now. We are sons and daughters of God. You know, just like in Him dwells all the fullness of what it means to be a son of God. That's why we lead every thought captive to Him. That's why we endeavor to avoid being led away as spoil of the world, and we allow ourselves to be a captive of Christ. Because in Him dwells all the fullness of God. In this kind of a life. Bodily. This kind of a life. Here I am. How can I live? I can live like He did. You can live like He did. And it's all by faith. It's all just, you know, as you've received Him, so walk in Him. Just walk at that. Walk it. Believe it. Believe who you are. Know who you are every day. Every minute, every breath. I am a son of God. God stands for me. He loves me. He paid a price for me. He will do things for me. You know, how shall He not give us all things? He's given us the life of His Son for us. So how shall He not now freely give us all things? That's what the Word of God says. Right? Well, that's pretty good. And it says you're complete in Him. You are complete in Him. You are now full. You know, like it says in Ephesians, we read it last week, that prayer, to be filled with all the fullness of God. Jesus Christ was filled with all the fullness of God. We can have the same. By the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? The hearing of faith. Good. Hearing about believing it. That's how we receive it. That's how this, that's all this, all comes into manifestation in our lives. You're complete in Him. You're lacking nothing. You're filled up. You're full. Years ago, we were taught that the Aramaic, you know, sets it in a tense that could be translated that you are completely, completely, absolutely complete in Him. The word complete is to be made full or complete. You're fully, 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 fully full of the fullness of God. That means no doubt about it. That's what it means. Then it speaks of the circumcision that is made without hands that we have. You know, and it draws in this analogy of circumcision. See, circumcision, all it was for Abraham was a token of God's commitment to him and Abraham accepting it. Two parts to it. God making a commitment, God making a promise, God establishing his covenant with Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. Do you accept that? Well, yes, I do. Okay, circumcise yourself. That shows me you believe it. And it shows you, you believe it too. And what we have is a circumcision made without hands. It's that Christ that God has put within us. Do you accept that commitment that God has made to you through the life of His Son, Jesus Christ? Then you receive that Spirit and you begin to manifest it. It says in verse 12, we're buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God. See, baptism, not John's baptism, it's the baptism with Holy Spirit. That's the circumcision without hands that we are circumcised with. That baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire that it speaks of. Wherein you're also risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him. He's made you alive with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now here's something that it brings us to. Saying, look, as you've received Him, walk in Him. And remember that you have been baptized with Holy Spirit. Use that. Accept that. Because that is the seal of His covenant with us. A circumcision made without hands. And He's made you alive and He has forgiven you of all your trespasses. Forgiven you of all of them. Don't even give them a second thought. They are forgiven. Oh, but God, I don't know. You know, I have all these things that I'm just really not very good at. Shh, don't even give it a second thought. But I make this mistake over and over again. Will you quit thinking about it? The more you think about it, the more you do it. That's why He wants us to forget about it. He's forgiven you already. So quit stewing over it. Quit being afraid that you're going to do it again. Because if you fear, you will. Fear is believing. It is believing the negative stuff. I'm afraid. What are you afraid of? Well, I'm afraid that if I get myself in this situation, I'm going to blow it again. So then what you're really saying is that I believe that if I'm in this position, I'm going to blow it again. That is my confession. That is my belief. Therefore, that will be my receipt. God says, quit it. I've forgiven you. You don't have to be concerned about that stuff anymore. I have put my Spirit within you. I've baptized you with my Spirit. You have Christ in you now. Walk in that. Walk in it. How? Not by the works of the law. Not by trying to perfect your flesh. But by believing that what God has said He has done for my life, He's changed my life. Then I believe that. He raised me from the dead when He raised Jesus Christ. I can now walk in newness of life, it says in Romans. I walk in newness of life. It's all new for me now. You know, and the only way to really walk forth in newness of life, receiving Christ Jesus, walking in Him, is to just reckon that old man dead and buried. That old man. You know, the one that feared this, feared that, worried about this, worried about that, stressed over this, stressed over that, is dead. Yeah. Dead. God did not raise your old man from the dead. He raised a new man. He raised you new in Christ. A new creature in Christ. Now all things are new that God has done for you. You can walk in them. Your life can be new. It's all dependent upon what you focus on. What you lead your thinking captive to. Am I a captive of the world and my old man nature, or am I allowing my thoughts to be captive of Christ? That's all. What am I thinking about? What am I thinking? My stupid old man? My mistakes? Or am I thinking about the potential that I have in Christ? And He's forgiven you. And verse 14 says this great verse, blotting out the handwriting. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. And it was Bishop Pillai from India that many years ago began to tour the United States teaching people the Orientalisms of the Bible, the culture in which it was written. And this has to do with a debtor in their culture and in their society, and how that the debtor's debts, all that he owed, would be posted at the city gate, so that everyone coming in and out of the city could know, man, look at all that debt that old Don Don has. Wow. He's in big trouble. And until all those debts get paid, it's all sitting there broadcast. Oh, and he's done this to that guy and this to that guy that he needs to repay. Oh, bad, bad news. And a benefactor would come along and for some reason would say, oh, Don Don's got a lot of problems. I want to take care of those things for him. Give me that list. And he'd take the list down and he'd say, it's paid, and he'd write on there, paid in full by a gracious man. Fold it over double and stick it back up there. That handwriting that was against you is now covered, folded, no longer to be seen by anyone. Because it's contrary to you. It works against you. And it's speaking of that sin that He has said, forgiven. Forgiven all trespasses. He blotted out all that sin, all that trespass that was on your list. He folded it over, stuck it back up there. And He took it and He nailed it to His cross. He nailed it to His cross. If you look at Isaiah, hold your finger here and look at Isaiah 40. This is where this concept comes from, or where it's mentioned in the Bible. And it's mentioned in Isaiah chapter 40. This is the same cultural event that it speaks of here in this prophecy. Chapter 40, verse 1 says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. This is that same figure of speech in their culture, this Orientalism. Most people read it, we read it, and we see she's received double for all her sins. Wow, she got twice the penalty. That's not something to be comforted about, is it? Which is kind of like when you read the verse, you go, I don't understand something here. Because He says, comfort you, my people. Be comforted. Because you've received double for all your sin? Oh, that's a real comfort. No, it means literally it's a doubling. And it refers to when that benefactor would come and take all that handwriting that was contrary to you and against your account and fold it over double so that it could no longer be seen. She's received by the Lord's hand a doubling over of that list of contrary things, of all those iniquities. You've been pardoned. You've been pardoned. You haven't been punished. You've been pardoned. And then verse 3 says, the voice of him that cries in the wilderness. Ah, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Gee, I seem to remember reading that about John the Baptist in the Gospels. Who is the pardon? Where does the pardon come from all these of all these iniquities that we have that are contrary to us? It comes from the Messiah, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our Lord. Every valley shall be exalted. Every low place lifted, right? Every mountain and hill made low. The crooked shall be made straight and the rough places plain. This is a smooth highway now. This is like the highway between Lafayette, Louisiana and El Paso. It's flat. There ain't no hills, baby. It's an easy road. It's easy to get to this place of pardon. And the glory, verse 5 says, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. The glory of the Lord revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The Messiah will come. He will grant that pardon. He's the one who will double it over, nail it to His cross, take away all those iniquities, those things that are against us. He's the one that did it. Isaiah proclaimed, He will be the one to do it. Paul looks back and says, by revelation, He is the one who did it. He's the one who did this. There's more here in Isaiah that's just tremendous. Verse 6 says, the voice said, cry. And he said, what do you want me to cry? Well, let's talk about flesh. All flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. This is quoted in Peter about our salvation. Look at 1 Peter. Hebrews, James, I think it's Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1.
24.
Yeah.
Actually, 23.
Yes, in 23 it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower thereof falleth away. That's the flesh of man. But God has allowed us to be born again. We have been born again not of corruptible seed that will wither, but of incorruptible. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You know, that proclamation of what would come, that pardon for all iniquity, that we could take comfort in, came through Jesus Christ. And now we have received double for all of our sin. We have received that gracious pardon. It has been paid for. It has been paid in full. And that is the emphasis of now how to walk in Him. Remembering that. You know, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in that. You don't have to pay for your own sins anymore. They've been pardoned. You've received pardon. Take comfort in that. Be blessed. God prepared it long ago. And He fulfilled it. He said there's going to be a voice crying in the wilderness, talking about what's coming. John the Baptist comes up. Hey, I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. How's that? Prepare you the way of the Lord. Here He is. There He is. The Messiah. Take Him. Receive those benefits. And be blessed. Now back in Colossians. I'll close this out. And having spoiled, verse 15 says, principalities and powers. He spoiled those principalities and powers that you and I have to wrestle with every day. You know, it says that in Ephesians. We didn't look at it in Ephesians, but maybe we should. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, just so you know what I'm referencing here. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's who our wrestling match is with. Now when we go back to Colossians and read this verse, it's incredible what Jesus Christ has done for us. He hasn't made us immune. He hasn't brought us totally out of that arena that these principalities and powers want to fight with us in.
Not yet. That's our hope. But it says, in verse 15, he's having spoiled principalities and powers. Spoiled means disarmed them. It's a different word than being spoiled by philosophies, all that stuff. For us, we look at what Jesus Christ did. He totally disarmed the adversary and his kingdom for us. So now when we go into this wrestling match, we realize that, hey, they don't have any weapons to fight against me. They've been disarmed. He disarmed them, those principalities and powers, and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. You know, he just showed who they really were, how much authority they really had. None. They were just like gnats in the summer. Boy, they're pestering me, bugging me, but can they hurt me? No. Not unless I myself succumb to them. You don't have to. So let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day. Remember the flesh stuff that it said we talked about? Look, it's not about the flesh. Let no man judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath. And this is all referring to Old Testament. What you're supposed to eat, what you're supposed to drink, what you can't eat, what you can't drink, in order to stay in alignment with God, or in respect of a holy day, you know, whether you keep the Sabbath or not, the new moon, the festivals, you know, the feast days, all these Old Testament things, which are a shadow of things to come. They're a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. These things in the Old Testament were a shadow of things to come. But that which casts the shadow is Christ. You know, they looked at those things, the new moon feasts, the Sabbath day, the festivals, the, you know, keeping the right foods, the right drink, doing everything according to the law. But that was just a shadow of things to come. It was something, it was a, referred to in other places as a type of things to come. It all pointed to Christ. It all pointed to Him and what He would accomplish. He would accomplish whatever we needed to become holy enough to sit in God's presence. And we do sit in Almighty God's presence as His sons and daughters. They could not see anything but the shadow. But we see the Christ. We are seated next to Him on the right hand of God. So walk ye in Him. Be blessed. Walk in Him. Father, thanks for your blessings. Thanks for the privilege that it is to stand before you, to sit with you as your sons and daughters, righteous in Christ. We're grateful, Father. There's nothing in life that we have to fear. There's nothing in this life that we have to feel uncertain of, because you have granted us every confidence in your Son, Jesus Christ. We're grateful for the forgiveness that we have before you. We're grateful, Father, for your grace. Thank you, God, for the way you have lifted us up and seated us with your Son in the heavenlies. Thank you, Father, for the great things that you have in store for us as we continue to walk in these great truths of who you have made us and what you have allowed us to do in this life. Thank you for, again, just your grace and your mercy and the awesomeness of your love to each of us and the way you continue to take care of our every need. We're grateful for these things and for a great week ahead as we remember that you're there with us and for us as our Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus Christ.